Bulls Nation, what's going on, man? It's your boy Boogie, USF Baseball Class of 2023. And y'all are tuning in to the It's Brewing Podcast. You already know what it is, man. Go Bulls forever.
You have to understand those who came before you. You can't just play for me.
Payoff pitch. Brutcher pulls it. Deep to right field. And this game is tied.
Every day is to make the university extremely proud. To make our alumni extremely proud of what we're doing in the program. Culture and work ethic and all of those things. Those are living, breathing things.
Are you kidding me?
This is ripped, the first Hogan, and there is your game winner. The South Florida Bulls can celebrate. They are headed to the Super Regionals for the first time in school history.
If you don't have the expectation of getting to Omaha, and playing well in Omaha, you probably shouldn't be coaching Division I baseball.
What's up, Bulls fans, and welcome to another episode of Brewing at McEwen. I am Adam Cartwright, and I am joined tonight by my co-host, John Kaplan, and also by our special guest, friend of the show, and a recent recipient of a Player of the Game Award, I believe, for the Charles de Jalisco. I don't know if I said that right at all.
Yeah, I did.
Awesome. Yes. Of the LMB, former Bulls closer, Andrew Perez. Andrew, man, how are you doing? And how are things going for you? Great game.
Good, man. Right? Good, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's been going well, man. I've, you know, these last month and a half, turned some things around, made some adjustments, and it's been awesome. You know, obviously pitching well is the, you know, that always makes life a little bit better, but everything around it, you know, has been awesome. You know, the experiences, the environment, some of these teams have been stacking up their lineup. So it's been pretty sweet so far.
Yeah, man. I saw it. I even saw the game that you were player of the game for. That was against a pretty tough opponent, I think they're second in the division. And it's only like a two division league, correct? Am I right on that?
Yeah. So it's two divisions, I believe, 16. No. So I think it's, honestly, we've been all just like in a playoff hunt, like both divisions.
Yeah.
Like every team in our side and the north side is pretty much, I mean, they're, you know, a good week away of good baseball to be in the top six, to the top six move on to the playoffs.
Right.
And it's also like a bad week could put you deeper. So we're kind of like in that like scratch and crawl, you know, period where we just got to kind of win every series here on out and, you know, hopefully the chips fall on our end.
Oh, that's awesome.
That Laguna team, they're pretty sad because they had Jonathan Villar, Didi, Jonathan Scope. So they had some talent, man. They were pretty loaded recent big league roster. I mean, I've got to face Didi, punched him out and faced him the next day as well. It's actually the first time in my career throwing 3 days in a row. I thought when I threw in college, when we had a doubleheader against Cincinnati, that was like a more tough kind of thing to do. But this throwing 3 days in a row is kind of nice to keep myself in shape.
Yeah.
Because today I was feeling, I was like, we had the day off and traveling and stuff like that. So it was pretty sweet to do.
Yeah, pretty. You must feel good to have a day off. Yeah. That's good, man. Well, also with us tonight is my co-host, John Kaplan. John, how are you doing, man?
I am doing well. Thanks for asking. Glad to get back on the show finally. It's been a minute. Had to relocate across the country. The wife accepted a residency position out here in Ohio, so we're living the farm life. We got some chickens, and I'm trying to wrap my head back around USF baseball here. There's a lot to be excited about. I think we've got a really strong season and a really strong future in looking ahead. You know, I'm really excited. I appreciate you guys having me on, though, for sure.
That's awesome. Well, like you said, we do have a pretty exciting future. We've got some new coaching hires, Coach Mitch Hannes. Is the new head baseball coach, and we'll just start right there. Andrew, what'd you think when you saw that news?
It was solid, actually. The first thing I did was reach out to one of my buddies, Wilkin Ken, who was with me for a bunch of years with the White Sox, and he played under him. You know, obviously, I knew that he went to, you know, Illinois State, and
Indiana State.
Yep. You know, he was there. I think he played under him for 3 years, I think, before he got drafted. You know, he was a big fan. You know, I was just like, hey, it's, you know, obviously it helps me to be able to be the alumni and also have that connection with the coach there to be able to be on campus whenever I need to. So he had nothing but everything was positive thoughts, you know, from Coach Hannah. So I actually got the chance to get his number and have a little conversation with him as well. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting him in person, hopefully in the next couple months when I get back down to Tampa this offseason. But it's, you know, speaking with some of the guys, the rest of the staff, it's been pretty awesome. I mean, the culture and the direction, you know, they're building up and from the ground up, not necessarily from the ground up, but it's, you know, it's a neat opportunity for anyone who sees USF in the direction of athletics. And I think this is going to take a baseball to a whole nother direction.
Yeah, that's great. John, what'd you think about the hire, man?
Honestly, my opinion, I think it was kind of like a hire that really nobody expected to see. And I think it really just kind of speaks on MK's salesman ability, Michael Kelly's ability to sell the program, and also in saying that his belief in our athletics program as a whole. You know, we've got a kind of like a three-headed monster now at the coaching position in our Big Three sport, in our Big Three. So I'm really excited to see what he brings to the table. You know, because I'll be honest, before the season opening tournament this past season, I had no clue how good Indiana State was. They're a very prominent baseball school, but I mean, we know a thing or two about getting overlooked being in a mid-level conference, you know. So they've just been absolutely killing it, making the NCAA and tournament in the last four of their last six seasons. And in 2023, I saw an impressive stat that Coach Hanna's, he won 42 games and did not lose a single weekend series. I mean, the guy has a track record of talent development and heavy recruiting. And, I mean, honestly, the future looks really bright. And I really hope that he can bring, you know, a reinvested culture and discipline to this ball club. Because one of the things we saw, you know, was – you know, not doing the small things right every single day, you know, and I think there's going to be a huge culture change that comes with Coach Hanna's coming to town and taking over. What about you, Adam? What do you think?
Yeah, I think the future is absolutely bright. And I think also if you haven't had a chance to see Coach Hanna's introductory press conference, I think it might be on YouTube. I think I saw it on Facebook, but find a way to watch that. It was fantastic. But coming along with Coach Hannes is his assistant coaches, and one of those is a familiar face. Coach Cates is going to be retained. Andrew, what do you think about Coach Cates being retained on staff, and how do you think that's going to impact the roster and the team as a whole?
I mean, that was big time, because obviously I know Cates, you know, when USF was very successful from 2015, 2016, and those 20, you know, that whole brand of baseball that we had. You know, he was a part of that, you know, and I think having that, you know, having him who's familiar with Tampa, all sorts from all the way from Orlando down to, you know, Tampa, you know, a guy who knows how to recruit, he's played at a high level, he's done everything in the baseball world, did from coaching, travel, high school, local, to, you know, being a top end assistant when he was at FSU, you know, playing at University of Louisville, playing up to AAA. Like he's done everything somebody who's wants to be at the next level as a player, and that motivation to have every day. You know, he's done it. And actually, even talking with some of the rest of the staff, I know Coach Bowers, having a chance to talk with him and have the conversation with him, you know, a lot of these coaches want to bring culture. They want to bring the guys who have had that, you know, that opportunity to have made a difference while they were at the program, you know, when they were there, to now see the direction that the program wants to go. And I believe, who was it, the pitching coach? Daniel, I know he was, I was kind of
Daniel
looking
Schlereth.
Him up. You know, and he's the guy who's playing the bigs. You know, he was first rounder, like had success coaching. Like, you know, there's more than enough, and with everything else around the USF athletics and baseball specific, like, to be extremely successful, more than a lot of people might think.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Daniel Schlereth is the pitching coach. He was a 13-year big leaguer, I believe, most notably for the Tigers. We have another coach coming in. Blake Kangas was a player development director of player
Oklahoma
development,
State,
I believe,
right?
From Oklahoma State. I mean, while I have you on the topic, you know, what are your thoughts about that, about getting a guy from that player development background?
I think that's big. I mean, obviously a lot of, you know, you see a lot of these schools nowadays, like, obviously there's the, I'm not sure the structure on how many coaches you can have paid, not paid, or on the field or off the field. But I think you see a lot of bigger programs they have from scouting, from player development. That's how you get the guys better. Like, obviously, putting a lineup as a head coach or a manager and prioritizing who's ready to pitch, who's, you know, who needs another day, you know, who needs to be, who needs more at bats or who doesn't. Like, obviously that's Coach Hanna's job, but I think everyone else around it and having that opportunity to have player development, it's huge. Yeah. I mean, I know, cause when I was there, it was, you know, we had three coaches. It was head coach, you know, your pitching coach assistant, and maybe one other, you know, Coach Paris, who was in the dugout with us, but that was it. Now it's, you're able to, you know, if a player's not getting reps, he's able to still get better without the whole, well, I'm not playing, so let me leave and go somewhere else. Like, no, there's the development. So when it's his opportunity, he's going to take it and run with it. And he's actually developing instead of, well, here's a whole year of not playing. Mm-hmm. I'm the same player as I came in my first year. And now I have to, like, you know, you kind of lose that talent, so to speak. You know, I think for each player now, this should be big, because as a player, you see that they're investing the money for you to be the best version of yourself, from being however you are as a freshman or an incoming JUCO or a Division I transfer to how do I leave two times or three times better than the way I walked in.
Yeah,
so I think the whole player development department is huge.
Absolutely. I think you're right. And I think one of the best parts about the growth of college baseball we've seen here in the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 years has been that expansion of the staffs. They did add a paid coaching position. They also kind of worked in these you know, larger developmental staffs that are on these bigger programs. And you're definitely seeing us kind of catch on to that and build. John, what were your thoughts on the assistant coaching hires?
To be honest, I'm just bluntly, I'm just glad to see that we have a pitching coach this year, and it's not a head coach / pitching coach. You know, it's really interesting hearing Andrew talk about, you know, the impact that, you know, those assistants can have with player development. Cause I mean, like you said, the head coach is ultimately going to be at the helm making the big decisions, but I think it's crucial to have somebody with that kind of background, with the player development background, like y'all were pointing out, leading our pitching staff as well, because I think we've seen how important, you know, the pitching staff is. But honestly, you guys were educating me a lot on some of the assistants, because I haven't put in the time to actually look them up individually too much. So I appreciate that. But it does sound like we're in good hands. And I know I've spoken to Cates a few times, like at the scrimmages and stuff, and he's just a baseball head, really high baseball IQ. So it really sounds like we have a really great bunch coming in.
Yeah, one thing I do like about Coach Cates, and I think me and Matt mentioned in our previous podcast, is you look at his experience, and not only does he have, you know, the coaching experience here at USF, but he spent some time at UCF, he spent some time at UT, he spent some time at FSU. He's really got connections all over the state of Florida, so he's just such a valuable resource in a lot of different ways. And another very valuable resource that we've seen in the last, again, you know, this growth of college baseball, and this, you know, this is probably about a 10 to 15 year expansion, but, you know, the growth of facilities, and USF is definitely a part of that, as we are expanding our facilities with the new IPF for football. There is also a lot of baseball development going on. But first, you know, I do want to kind of read off everything that the baseball program is planning to do. But before I do, Andrew, you know, kind of take us back to what it was like when you were there as a player, and now what it's like as you've kind of come back here in these last couple of years.
It's been pretty, you know, obviously I got lucky, because my first year, I think 2016 was when Red was, or maybe it was 2015, where obviously Red was, you know, brand new from what it was before. And so, you know, go fast forward a couple of years later, the change in the, you know, it being all turf, you know, the way that you could just play baseball pretty much all year round, wait 25 minutes for a rain delay and go back onto the field. That's big time, especially in the state of Florida. You know, some of the even simple things like aesthetic stuff, you know, the paint, you know, updated paint, you know, and in terms of like even the, I got a chance to work out in the indoor practice facility. That was pretty sweet. Obviously, I remember when I was my freshman summer, we were running nonstop, pushing, you know, sleds and all those different things out there in that heat. I was sore for about 2 months. So it's nice to have that ability to be indoor, outdoor. Obviously, I'm sure that's free access, you know, for all of athletics when yeah. needed. And then also the weight room, obviously, it's part of the Leroy Selman Center. You know, they redid the entire weight room. Obviously, it was nice when I was there, but looking how it is now, it's like I mean, if you like any sort of working out, you never leave that facility. Obviously, I know a lot of that vision from when I first met Coach Roberts, when he was just working directly with football and baseball, you know, part of his vision was to make that to be the, you couldn't tell them between an ACC and an SEC strength, you know, strength and conditioning facility as you can, you know, an American conference. Like it's top notch, man. And I think the vision he had and, you know, them believing in how he wanted to make the weight room and move everything and have it. So you're an athlete like this, the weight room is where you make your gains. And that's where you really take yourself to the next level. And I think the way they did all the redid all those facilities, man, it's, I mean, I've been able to see a couple places all over now, especially, you know, playing professionally, and there might be better, but we're not far from like the elite of facilities, especially in that department. And when once they build the on-campus stadium, that's going to be the whole athletic village. And the school itself is going to be top. It's top notch.
Absolutely. John, you know, what do you think about the facilities as you've seen it kind of from a fan's perspective over the last couple of years?
Honestly, it's night and day from when I was going to school there. Cause I mean, I graduated in 2012 and 2016 from USF, and it's just incredible to see the growth and the continued like aspirations for greatness, you know, because there was a certain time when people were just calling us an academic university. We didn't place value in our athletics, things like that. And we're quietly, actually quite loudly proving those critics wrong now. You know, we're really putting all our chips in for athletics. And I think people are starting to realize that the funding for athletics and academics come from not completely different sources, but they're not mutually exclusive. And it's good to see that, because I mean, in today's era, you're going to have to do these things in order to hang with, you know, those Power Five programs with recruiting, especially with NIL being as prominent as it is. So I'm really fired up to see it. I would love to see that new weight room. I was wondering, but Andrew actually answered it. I was wondering if it was in the athletics building or like if it was individual to baseball program in specific. But with that being said, Andrew, what's something that you could say that recruits are looking for specifically like from baseball recruits are looking for when they take campus visits, you know, like what's something that USF doesn't have right now that they could add, if anything at all, in your opinion, to, you know, increase the amount of recruits we're getting to come to USF, because we've got such a huge talent pool in our backyard. We have to take advantage of it.
I just think now it's a crazy, because I think, I mean, obviously as a recruit, you go and see the positives, you go and see the Tampa area, you go and see the facilities, you know, you meet the staff, and obviously now it's a different staff. Like when I first, you know, my recruiting background was originally with Coach Prado, and, you know, I was sold by Coach Prado and his, you know, him being well known in Tampa and all his years in baseball, you know, how he is as a person. Plus Coach Hines, who was a big league all-star, or Coach Carter, who was a big league all-star, and Coach Hines, who played X amount of years in the big leagues. Like, so when things transition, it was like my reason for staying committed was because, one, I love the school. I love the campus. Like, I committed to the school. You know, my sister was already there, you know, so I knew kind of everything about Tampa. And so once there was more money being involved in athletics, like, and player development, I knew, okay, well, my goal is, you know, I have two goals here. It's on an individual side. It's get drafted and get my degree, which I was very thankful to do that. And being pushed with the people that were there and the opportunity to have, you know, the talent we had from recruiting, to bring all those guys and have the vision. So I think now the something that might have been maybe lacking is the overall culture. And I think with this staff, you know, it's easy. You know, I think I need all of us could go out and recruit and have that opportunity to sell the facilities and sell the campus and all that stuff. Like, I think that's basic. You know, we have the money's been put now at USF to be able to alone just have a kid come and look at the campus, be like, hey, this is where I want to spend my years. But now it's how do you keep a kid? And I think now it's having, you know, the right staff that believes in every player the same, not the kid that you're going to project to be a, you know, top 10 round pick. Like, it's the kid you can see, hey, you know, you're good now, but how do you leave the best version of yourself to not only in life, and if you continue playing baseball past that level, you know, and build that culture for those next wave of players. And I think, you know, it's crazy because obviously everyone sees the NIL stuff, you know, the NIL stuff, you know, it's like, I want 200, you know, I want an extra $2,000 a month or an extra 20 grand a month. Like, that's all, that is what it is. That's not going to be anything that changes. And I think USF alone is able to bring those resources now that the money in athletics is being spent and now the athletics is winning. Like, because you know how it is in college sports. When you have football winning, you have men's basketball winning, you have, you know, baseball, everything else is going to bring the money. Because USF, all the women's athletics were all killing it. You know, now we need the big three to really go out and do their thing. So that's going to make a huge difference.
It's a really good point. Thanks, man.
Yeah, just real quick, guys. Andrew, did you said they had just built the new red whenever you got there, so you didn't play in the old one at all?
No, I never even got to see the old one.
Never
I think
got to
they,
see the old one.
Okay. So I was recruited in, so I came in my junior, so that was 2014. Mm-hmm. I think they had just finished 2013 or 2012 might have been the first year. I'm always trying to remember.
Because
when I came on my recruiting visit, I didn't see any old construction or stuff being taken down. It was already done.
John, had you watched any games in the old one?
Oh, yeah. I remember watching Randy Fontenot on the bump back at the old Redman. I think Prado was a coach then still, if I'm not mistaken.
He was, yeah.
And also there's a oh, my gosh.
Austin Adams.
Austin Adams, thank you, bro.
Yeah, that's
you
my guy.
Right
that's
out of my mouth.
Guy,
I was like,
dude.
I was like
my guy.
He's a real crafty reliever. He was our closer. Dude, he was electric for us, man.
Still a big leaguer.
Yeah, I know. He's shut down my Rangers twice this season.
So,
that's my man. So funny story with him, actually. My freshman year, it was in the fall, and he came in the offseason, you know. It's crazy how everything goes full circle. Mm-hmm. And I remember this guy put me, like, he was doing weighted balls. And I'd never really done the full weighted ball program. And we were doing weighted balls for like almost 35 minutes. And I was like, he got me. He was actually who got me hooked originally, like doing any sort of weighted ball program. And it was just like, it's pretty cool to see, like, maintain that relationship with him still. And, you know, he was always one of those guys that was big, you know, USF and proud to be part of USF. And, you know, I think he was also an eighth rounder closer too. And it went full circle. Like, he still has an opportunity. He's still in the big leagues and I get the chance to still continue to play at a high level. And it's crazy how the game just goes full circle. Like, that was in 2016. He might've been already in his first year of AAA. Yeah. I think at that time with either the Angels or the Nationals. So time just flies by.
Yeah, it does, man. I remember when I had graduated from my high school, we had just kind of redid our baseball field and kind of put in like a new brick kind of background and kind of new fencing and bleach. Anyways, it looked pretty nice. And I just remember going to the old red, sitting down thinking like, I came to a college and this is the baseball field. You know, like, holy cow. And then they put in the new one. And then I remember coming to it and I was like, okay, this is what I expected, you know? So, but there is a ton of growth coming in. I just want to read off what I saw on the website. That was, you know, what is kind of in the phases for this expansion. But there's plans to add fan enhancements. There's plans to add the batting cages to be fully enclosed and then add full clubhouses, offices, locker rooms, sports medicine, nutrition, a separate weight room, and meeting rooms. I do, Bulls, so I encourage you to get on Google, look up the expansion plans for USF baseball and kind of look through these renderings of what it's on GoUSFBulls.com of what they're thinking this is going to look like when it's over. It's awesome. It's right up there. You talk about the gap between maybe where we're at and the SEC. I think when these upgrades and phases kind of get done, we're going to be right there with these major programs.
Oh, man, that's crucial, buddy. I had no clue about all this. That is so awesome.
Yeah. Research for this podcast, bro.
Yeah, it's some big time. It's all pretty soon stuff that they're gonna be getting to work, which is pretty nice. You know, it's not like a recruit seeing this and it's gonna be happening in 2035. Like, this is stuff that's happening pretty much in the next year and a half.
Yeah, when you
obviously
when
I'm sure as the priority right now is the football stadium, but I'm sure this is all going to be things happening all at the same time.
Yep, and some of this stuff is being worked in. The list will tell you when, you know, 2013 was when things started getting completed, which included a renovation to the Donaldson deck. The turf baseball infield was a part of this, as well as the renovated batting cages. But again, they're not done with that. They're going to put them all indoors, which again, with the heat and the unpredictable weather in Florida, crucial for a pitcher just to be able to go get some work in, or a hitter to go be able to get some work in whenever they need to. So again, the growth here is coming. If you're a recruit looking at USF, it's gonna be great when you get here. I promise you. But something I wanted to ask you, Andrew, with the NCAA tournament actually finishing tonight, I believe the game should be starting soon, if not already started. But I wanted to ask you, you had experience playing in the NCAA tournament. What was that experience like? How did those games feel different than maybe a regular season game? And just kind of any memories you have with that?
Dude, those games are awesome, man. I know we had in 2017, so we had back-to-back regionals. I know in 17 was the Gainesville, and obviously Florida ended up, winning the whole thing that year. And then we played in 2018 the land regional. I actually had a pitch in both, so I got a pitch against Florida, and then got a pitch against, I believe it was Hartford, which was actually my last college outing. But it was awesome, man. Like looking back at it, like those that like. That's what you do all the fall workouts for, all the early 6 a.m. workouts, all the long hours in the spring and all these inter squads, like to get the opportunity to play in the postseason. Obviously, 2017, we had much higher hopes because we were 42-19 and had a 16 or 18 game win streak. Like we probably could have hosted and probably, who knows, we probably should have made a much deeper run than we did. Being able to come in and pitch against Florida and seeing them actually win the entire thing was pretty crazy. And I think if we would have, honestly, if we would have beat them, I mean, our team with, I mean, you know how that team was in 2017. I mean, from big leaguers to draft guys to just overall just dudes in college, like we were so much talent. Got a pitch against Florida. I think I threw like three innings, held them from like the ninth to like the 11th. And then in 2018, we played in the DeLand Regional. So I think it was us, Stetson, Oklahoma State. Which that's what I was going to ask you. Was that coach that's player development, was he at Oklahoma State then?
I'm not sure. That would have
Yeah.
been, ooh.
So I don't know if 2018.
Yeah. Eight years ago? 8 years ago?
Yeah.
No, I'm way off. 6 years ago.
Yeah, 6-6 or 7. And then pitched, actually got a four inning save or four inning win out of the bullpen. And that was my last college outing. And we ended up playing Oklahoma State, I believe, the next day. And then I forgot, I think it was a close loss. So I was kind of glad that I was able to be part of some long outings in regionals. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I don't believe he would have been there by that time. No,
Yeah, because
he joined
2018.
in 22.
Yeah, oh, she's
But
super recent.
yeah, so just want to kick it over to John here. John, do you have any questions for Andrew?
Oh yeah, I've got a few. So I liked your point about culture, and its factor in ret player retention, which I think is huge right now in this NIL era. But I'm wondering, do you feel as though baseball is being as greatly impacted by NIL as other sports? And if not, is it only a matter of time, or is baseball, does it just have that factor that makes it different?
I feel like with baseball, it's getting actually more effective with the transfer portal than NIL stuff. Because for me, like when I was a recruit, the only way you could transfer from a Division One is if your head coach left. Like if I try to go from here to UCF, I'd have to sit out a year, a full year, And I think, now it there, I think the portal, because baseball's, even your first years of playing pro ball, you get your signing bonus, and you just deal with the same ranks as anyone who's going to be a 10-year big leaguer. You got to go through the minors. You got to go through, I feel like baseball is such more of a development curve to where, NIL or not, I think you probably see more shift in baseball because of the transfer portal than NIL. Like obviously, as a baseball player, like a lot of things you need, you can get from companies that, you might not need a $30,000 NIL deal. You could message a sunglasses company, hey, I like the way that these look stylish, like I feel good in them, like can I get a box of sunglasses and or arm sleeves or recovery gear. Like I feel like baseball, for whatever reason, never has isn't really such a sport where like NIL is so big, because obviously it's all market based too. So like maybe if I had an NIL in college, it'd be a little different, but still in the end of the day, the market for relievers is a lot different than maybe a college running back. Obviously, like being a closer and being all conference, like and getting drafted, those things all came, as the years went on. So maybe NIL, like, there's a kid that's like a Chase Burns who's going to be a top three overall pick anyway. He's going to make his money in the draft. He's going to make his money, in about when's the draft? In about 2 weeks.
Coming up
You know,
soon,
and
yep.
I think, and I, so I don't think the NIL stuff, like I think obviously it can help keep a player, but I really feel it's as big as like football and basketball. Like it's going to help take a player to go to different, you know, different school. Because again, baseball is one of those things where it's, you know, you could have a roster 1 year of 30 guys and then the next year have a full brand new recruiting class. Like when I came in, we had a whole top, you know, top five recruiting class in the country. Like maybe NIL stuff could have altered some of that, but in the end of the day, like all of us were in it together. And I think having that culture and the right people at the helm can, that's going to retain a lot. Because in the end, if you're winning, if you're winning at USF, or if you go and you win at UCF, like, as long as when you're winning, like that takes care of everything else, you know, like everything's going to come with that. Now what happens is you see some schools go, you know, 25 and 25. And then all of a sudden this, you know, their first runner wants to leave and go to a bigger school. Like I know the kid from Miami, Blake Seer, you know, he, you know, was at Miami for whatever reason, left Miami to go to Florida. And the goal I'm sure is either to, he was supposed to be a top pick out of high school anyways. You know, the goal is to be a top pick again out of college, but if you can have that extra money in your pocket, you know, all for it. But I feel like NIL stuff in baseball isn't, I feel like now the transfer portal and COVID, like all that stuff kind of just together made it seem like it was kind of, it got a little bit more exposed with, you know, guys and, you know, kind of picking and choosing which program they wanted to go to. But I don't know, I feel like, because, you know, I see it, you know, I see like this, you know, you see a kid transfer out of the school and, you know, he picks a school that maybe has more NIL money, but it's also a lot of these opportunities you can create for yourself by just being a better player, you know, whether it's being the best player on your team or marketable. I don't know if it really takes that many players out of, you know, if you have a recruiting class of 20 guys, I don't think you lose 10 just because of NIL reasoning, which is, I gotta look that up for baseball. Me personally, I think the portal does more damage to baseball because, hey, you're an incoming freshman that was a top recruit. You didn't play. Oh, let me go somewhere else in the spring or go to a Division II, III, NIA. Right. Like, I feel like there you lose. Like, there kind of can get into a hole where you lose a lot more players. You know, because obviously baseball is a sport where a kid could be a junior and then from – he could be a draft-eligible junior and all of a sudden doesn't pan out, or he could be a ready-to-go preseason freshman All-American player of the year and doesn't pan out. Like, you know, baseball is such a tedious sport with development. To where it's like, how can you just consistently get better and grow over time instead of just being really good at one point? And if you're going to be really good at one point, how can you sustain it to be, you know, at the highest level for as long as you can? And I think a lot of time comes from, you know, having those guys from the portal, you know, back and forth, different schools that all live and level. And there's kids I know that they were playing Division I and they're out of eligibility, so they have to go to Division II no matter what. So, like, now those guys at some point were probably their top dogs in the schools they were at. And now they just have to filter in between D1 or D2 and D3 schools. And that's outside of NIL, because NIL, you know, school could offer them, you know, $20,000, but they can't go just because of eligibility reasons, because of just the way things have turned around.
Right. Yeah. I had similar thoughts about the role NIL played in NCAA, but I didn't know for sure if that was just like a weird hunch or what, but I really appreciate your insight on that, because I'm really enjoying picking your brain, because it's all very interesting to me. So would it be safe to say that you're not a proponent of the new transfer portal?
I mean, a lot of this stuff is crazy too. It's like both the NIL and transfer portal, like, they have their good and their bad side. Obviously,
right.
I think, you know, if you were a high school freshman, you know, a year or two ago when all those guys, you know, had that extra year of COVID, you know, like, you know, there were guys at, you know, 22, 23 playing still in college. Like, in 23, I was double A, triple A, you know, like, so it's just like, it's just crazy how different things, you know, there's guys who might be at a certain age as freshmen or sophomores. And it's just like, when you look at it, everything, you have to also make adjustments, right? Like, everything changes. You know, the game changes, you know, COVID obviously changed a lot of things. And I think that the portal and transferring, it's a crazy environment, because I think obviously, again, if you're committed to the school and committed to the program, you know, I think you have to understand that there comes, you have to kind of know what your end goal is. So like, if I know I want to get drafted, and I know I have all the facilities and everyone around me, maybe I'm not getting the opportunity. Like, you do need to play, but you also have to look into the mirror at some point and be like, hey, I need to get better. And, you know, if I'm 150-pound freshman, like, I need to come back and be 185-pound sophomore. You know, I can't just come back and be a 150-pound sophomore. Does that mean, you know, you're not using your resources? Like when I was at USF, I used my strength conditioning coaches, pitching coach. Like I used the resources to my best ability. But at the end of the day, I knew it had to come out of me. It can't be, you know, just because we had to wake up for a 6 a.m. workout. Like you can show up to the weights, but if you're not pushing yourself, like that's the internal part. And I think now with all the transferring and moving around, like those parts itself has kind of maybe taken away that internalized, hey, I just need to go get the job done and push myself 200%. Because at the end of the day, like regardless if it was me playing a AAA or a big league camp or a DR or here, it's like you have to wake up and you have to, you know, get yourself together and you have to really push yourself every single day to get the most out of yourself. It's not coaches, obviously having the right, you know, and I even try to pride myself with that, like with the kids I train, it's like, I want them to figure out how to be the best, their best selves. And I'm just here as a resource because everything that they're going through, I've done it. You know, I've played in the perfect game, national, you know, the perfect game in Jupiter, you know, the perfect game in East Cobb, you know, what school do I sign with? You know, what school do I commit to? How do I deal with scouts, this and that? Like I've done all that stuff. So it's just more when you have the right resources in place, all that can do is just, it's almost like if you're playing bowling, you know, with the bumpers on, like you might hit the bumps in the road, but you're just here to kind of have that direction. And I think for a lot of these guys, it's, you got to find that internalized, you know, your why and the reason you do what you do. And I think just showing up every day and really going 200% with the right staff, you know, and the staff that they brought now to USF, like really can elevate a kid that's, you know, an incoming freshman or a JUCO transfer that might have not seen that full vision for himself to really get the most out of them.
Well, yeah, Andrew, man, as always, you bring such a great message. And unfortunately, I have to be that guy because we are less than a minute. So I'm going to have to kind of get us out of here. Man, it has been a fantastic conversation. As always, we're just going to have to have you back here when we get some time. And I'm sure it's going to be another great conversation. But I just want to encourage Bulls fans out there to go ahead and like and subscribe to the podcast in any way, shape, or form you can with any way that you're listening to this podcast. And also, go follow the Charros, De Jalisco of the LBM, as our buddy Andrew is doing great things over there, and cheer them on as they make their playoff push. And Andrew, man, it was fantastic having you on, bud.
Appreciate you guys always.
All right, man.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
All right, guys. Go Bulls.
Go Bulls.